This is Matt Webb. Cambridge 105
Radio. So every month here at Cambridge 105 Radio, we normally select one charity to be our charity of the month. But this month, because it's on the run-up to Christmas, we have got two charities of the month. And one of our charities of the month this month is the Cambridge Central Aid Society. And I'm pleased to welcome to the studio this afternoon Nicola London and also Paul Ray. Good afternoon to you both.
Good afternoon.
So first of all, Nicola, just tell us what you do, because you are the chair of the organisation.
Yes, I am. I took over as chair a little over 18 months ago after having been a trustee for a number of years. So basically, we have to do all our own fundraising, so I've been quite focused on that. We meet on a fortnightly basis, and where we consider applications for people who need help. So I work with my wonderful team of 9 volunteers, and we help people in Cambridge.
And Paul, you're the finance trustee.
Well, I'm the honorary treasurer, and I've been that for 10 years. I came to Central Aid from the Citizens Advice Bureau. The CAB and Central Aid have been quite close to each other ever since the Second World War. My job is to make sure that Nicola's doing enough fundraising and that and that we're balancing the books at the end of the year.
And just tell us what you do at the Cambridge Central Aid Society for people who aren't familiar with your charity.
Okay. Well, we're giving small grants up to about £150 to people who are recommended to us by people like the Citizens Advice Bureau, housing societies, and charities like Mind, the Sirenians, Jimmy's, Winter Comfort, who are working with people in distress, and they are, and there's something which is a sort of problem right now which needs solving, because otherwise the problem will turn into a crisis, and we can help by an injection of money for a washing machine which is broken down, some clothes, some ID documents for somebody who can't get a job and hasn't got those documents. And we expect the sponsoring organisation to be tackling the underlying problem. Why hasn't this person got the money or the housing or the resources? What benefits should they be getting? How can that be helped? But we can give the sponsoring organisation a quick win by saying, here's a bed, because the person hasn't got a bed. Now, you know, you've got a win with that person and can develop that relationship and help them through the bigger problems or the longer lasting problems.
And you've touched upon some of the organisations that you work with. I noticed that there was a mental health charity and also a homeless charity, and especially towards the Christmas period, it can be quite a depressing time for a lot of people, and also quite a stressful time, especially if they haven't got the money to do basic things.
Yes, well, we're traditionally getting a lot of applications at the moment for help with clothing, warm clothing for people who are out in the streets, then there are people, and particularly what we're concentrating on at the moment, the people who are facing up to Christmas. How on earth are we going to finance our Christmas when we can't finance our day-to-day living? And so this year we've written to all the children's centres and to the social services teams who deal with children, saying, look, we are, if you're working with people who really are facing up to an awful prospect for Christmas, we can provide some help. And the help we could provide would be £50 for the family and £25 for each child. We cap that at £150 a family, but it's somewhere between £75 and £150. Here we can provide store cards, can be used at Argos or Tesco or elsewhere, to help with your Christmas.
These are families that otherwise the children won't be receiving a gift, because what we've learnt over the years is when people are suffering financially, what happens is they obviously, you know, they have to pay their living costs, their rental, their bills and so on, and they tend to go without food. So, you know, people do use the food bank, but equally some people don't like to go and use the food bank for pride and so on. So the money that we're going to give to these families, the £25 we will give to the parent, because we think it's very important that the parent chooses the child a gift that they'll want, and the gift is obviously from them to the child.
And it's something that could be useful, I suppose, too.
It could be something that's useful, exactly. If you're an older child, it could be a pair of trainers or, you know, that kind of thing. We try and be fairly elastic with them, the age of the children too, because we've recently come across a couple of 18-year-olds who've been living in hostels. I mean, technically, they're still children, really. So, again, you know, something personal for themselves. And I think what a lot of people don't realise, it's very hard to believe that in an affluent city like Cambridge, there are people who are living this hand-to-mouth existence, you know, and Christmas, all of this comes into focus, and for families that have no money, it's even more depressing. So
it's interesting you should say that, actually, because that's what a lot of people have told me out and about when I've been out and about with Cambridge 105, is that people think that Cambridge is very affluent, as you say, but they forget there are pockets around the city and South Cambridgeshire in particular where people are struggling to get by, and there isn't resources to often help these people.
Absolutely, and beyond that, you know, the other sort of terrible statistics that, you know, a great number of our clients, particularly women, but also some men, suffering domestic abuse. You know, that is a very significant number. And 45% of our clients that we help have mental health issues, which, you know, frankly, when everything else in your life is so wretched, it's, you know, it's deeply, deeply troubling and sad. And there's often very few places that people can turn to for things like that. So I think this year we've really decided to sort of, you know, take the bull by the horns and try and get our message out there so that people in Cambridge are a lot more familiar with what we do, and hopefully would like to help. We are all, as I said, volunteers, so our overheads are 0.3%. The CAB very kindly give us a meeting room for free, and we even bring our own biscuits. So
chocolate?
So, oh no, that's far too much of a treat. We have too much work to do. So. You know, basically every penny we get in goes out, and we're working with most organisations in Cambridge and the surrounding areas that work with people in trouble, you know, including schools in Cambridge. You know, we're doing so many things. People who are carers, the young children who are carers, it's just quite astonishing.
And something that is also astonishing is the fact that you've been in Cambridge since 1880.
Yes, we were originally set up by Town and Gown to rationalise the help given to people who were falling on hard times or were begging in the streets. And in fact, Nicola's first predecessor was the master of Pembroke. I don't know whether you realised how illustrious a forebear you were.
Crikey!
Gosh.
But and we've been going ever since. And indeed, several of the Cambridge colleges who were originally helped set us up still donate to us, and very helpfully too.
And this Christmas scheme that you're running, this isn't the first year that you've done this. What's been your feedback in previous years when you've run it?
Extreme gratitude. I mean, we've had a couple of emails this week. We started a couple of weeks ago, you know, as Paul said, contacting all the children's centres and social workers and so on, where they knew there was extreme poverty. And, you know, the sponsoring agents have come back to us already and said, you know, mothers in tears, and just, you know, it brings a great deal of happiness to people. It also brings people some dignity too. And I think it also, which I think is very important, that people realise the community cares. And that's something really important, actually, because, you know, we're all responsible for each other in a way, and making sure we all, you know, have the best possible Christmas.
And it's something that a lot of us would take for granted,
exactly.
And probably do.
Exactly. Yes.
And if people want to find out more information and they want to support you, mm-hmm. how would they go about doing that?
Well, we've got a website, which is cambridgecentralaid.org. But if you just Google Cambridge Central Aid, you'll get there. And on the website, if you wanted to help us with a donation, it'll tell you how to do that, and there's a gift aid form, or there's a big give button, which the big give process is very simple to follow. We're very grateful for any help which we can have, because
we're aiming to help in excess of 100 families this Christmas and 200 children. So
it kind of puts into context how much money you need to raise, really, doesn't it?
Yes. So far we've got 8,500 in the bank, and I'm confident we'll get to the 10,000. I'm not confident that we'll be stopping there. That's the problem, because we've helped 34 families. We've had another 35 applications in, and we've got another 2 weeks to go. And that 100 is beginning to look a low bar at the moment.
Yeah.
And and we hate saying no, and we'll do everything we can before we say no.
It's been fantastic talking to you, Nicola and Paul from the Cambridge Central Aid Society. Thank you very much for joining me this afternoon here on Cambridge 105 Radio.
Thank you.
This is Matt Webb, Cambridge 105 Radio.
So each and every month here at Cambridge 105 Radio, we normally select one charity to be our charity of the month. But this month, because it's on the run-up to Christmas, we have got two charities of the month. And our second charity of the month for December is Woods Green, the Animals Charity. And joining me in the studio to talk about her role is Jenny Thorburn. She is the Senior Community Fundraising Executive. Good afternoon to you. So just tell us what your role involves at Wood Green then.
So I basically support anyone that's interested in fundraising for us. Kind of events that they're involved in, I'm there to kind of offer a helping hand, really.
And do you do a whole raft of different events that people can get involved with?
Yes, we do, yeah. So this year we've had two skydives, and we have a firework coming up in March. We had a Wood Green dog walk for the first time ever this year too. And then there's a range of different ways that people can get involved with us as well, with their own ideas and kind of own activities.
Are you looking for people to do quirky things to fundraise? Because that can often entice people to give a lot more money.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely, yeah. We have a lovely young supporter that last year she actually cycled from Dover to Amsterdam. So she
Crikey.
Actually cycled through four different countries, which was fantastic, after they rehomed the lovely Mr. Bing, which was a Wood Green dog. And that's the kind of things that we love, when people get that invested and are that interested in supporting us. But, not everyone wants to cycle through four countries.
Well, you touched upon skydiving, which is also quite a risky thing to do, but obviously can get a lot of money in as well.
Yes, absolutely. So one of our supporters from that, they actually raised £650, which was a fantastic amount, really. And the kind of we have held two events this year, and we're now going to be opening up spaces all year round, so people can book skydives through us to raise money for us any time of the year that they want now.
And that's really important, because obviously it encourages more and more people to get involved in that sort of thing, I suppose.
Absolutely, yes. Yeah, absolutely.
Now, why do you need more individuals to get involved and fundraise for Wood Green? Why is that?
So Wood Green have seen an increase in the kind of level of care that we need to provide to animals that are coming into us. There is more and more abandoned pets that are coming in, which need more urgent and critical care. Last year at Christmas, we actually had five puppies born on Christmas Day, from the lovely Daisy. And obviously, that kind of thing requires round-the-clock care. We need to feed them, we need to nurse them, and we need to help the mother to be a good mother too. And that kind of level of abandonment, which is she was a stray, she was found abandoned as pregnant, means that we are actually seeing more of that, and we need obviously more funds and more help in order to give them the chance and the second chance at life that they need.
So you're saying that you're finding more pregnant animals are being abandoned as well?
Just essentially more animals that are in need, but we have seen an increase in the level of kittens and puppies that are coming into us as well.
Why do you think that might be?
I'm not sure. I don't know whether it's that, unfortunately, that with kittens, it's quite common, obviously, that cats can, unfortunately, if they're not spayed, then they will be pregnant very, very easily. And then people are having these unwanted litters and not knowing what to do with them. It's kind of a complicated range of issues, I guess.
Now, what kinds of people can get involved with fundraising? Is it anyone? Can schools be involved? Local
Absolutely.
Businesses?
Yes, anyone. Anyone who wants to get involved with Wood Green, there's a way to get involved. For schools, we have a schools fundraising programme, and we have an outreach and education team that they can get involved with too. And we have something called Words with Woody coming up next year, which is specifically for schools, and World Book Day. With community organisations, they can have collection tins, they can do some fundraising for us, they can choose us as Charity of the Year. There's a load of different ways that people can support us.
Why do you think it's important to get school children involved in fundraising, especially for an animals charity?
I think that it's obviously important in terms for us that we help the next generation understand responsible pet ownership, and that going forward less animals are abandoned and more kind of responsible ownership and of animals is taken into account, but also that animals can that children can understand really the scale that can be in place sometimes for abandoned animals, and really kind of get in touch with that and help and do what they can to support a good cause, I guess.
Now, something that did strike me is that the fact it cost Wood Green nearly £18,000 to care for all the animals in the centres on Christmas Day.
Yes.
And I think people often think of, obviously, homeless people at Christmas, but a lot of people do forget about animals as well, who do suffer.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, any way that people can kind of help with that is so appreciated, because it does cost a lot of money, and the more that care that an individual animal needs, the more urgent care that they need, the costs obviously rise and go up.
And do you find that grassroots fundraising is some of the best way to get money in?
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, we are a national charity, but we're very regionally focused. A lot of our supporters live near our three centres, and it's such a lovely way for them, because obviously they can come into the centres, they can see firsthand the difference that they're making to the animals' lives.
And of course, you care for a whole breadth of different animals.
We do, yes. It's not just dogs and cats, there's rabbits, hamsters, guinea pigs, horses, sheep, goats. There's a whole range, really. So any kind of pet that you can think of, apart from reptiles.
And something that has struck me when I've gone down to Wood Green is the level of care that the animals get is exemplary.
Thank you. We really appreciate that. We do obviously try our absolute utmost to ensure that every single animal is receiving the most care that they possibly can, and that their needs are met at their time at Wood Green. Hopefully go to their forever home.
That's right. I mean, as a cat owner myself, it's always nice to see the cats in particular getting getting the Christmas gifts,
yep,
and things, and seeing the stuff
yeah,
that goes out on
Christmas
Twitter.
Christmas care boxes, yep.
Yeah. We'll come on to that in just a moment, actually. Now, when it comes to fundraising and, more importantly, getting involved with Wood Green, do you have a contact number that people can get you on if they think, that's something I really want to do on the run-up to Christmas,
yeah,
or maybe as
absolutely.
A New Year's resolution?
So they can contact me by email, which is fundraising@woodgreen.org.uk, or they can ring our general number, which is 0300 303 9333, and my extension is 1361. They can come straight through to me and kind of pick my ear if they've not got any ideas, or alternatively give me lots of ideas that they want to get involved with, and I can just help support them and do that.
And I suppose a lot of the good ideas come from people who are new volunteers and supporters of the organisation.
Yeah, absolutely. We just actually recently had some volunteers come in, and they had given gifts and money to Wood Green instead of Christmas gifts. So they got their whole family involved, and they raised over £500 just by doing that. So just those simple little ideas can make such a huge difference.
That's a really interesting twist there. A lot of people might not think about that.
Yeah, I mean, actually, it's such a lovely way, really, isn't it, to do some fundraising. We have quite a lot of people that will give gifts in lieu instead of birthdays or weddings as well. And it's just such a nice way, I guess, and very easy too.
And of course, most of the cash gift goes towards the Christmas survival box, and that's packed with essential life-saving emergency supplies such as medication, surgical equipment and antibiotics. Now, £10 can buy a Christmas survival box for an individual animal, £18 can buy a group box to help more animals, and £25 could help vaccinate a puppy to protect against life-threatening disease. But it's also finally worth mentioning that obviously it is coming up to Christmas in the new year. You're going to want, obviously, a pool of money coming in to look after the animals for next Christmas.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. I mean, obviously, any charity wants to plan ahead. And I guess it's just kind of ongoing care, really, isn't it? And more than anything as well, we want to expand. We want to reach more animals. We want to ensure that every animal, we're never, ever putting them on a waiting list and having to make them wait, and the urgent animals are being able to come in. So that's kind of a priority for us.
And your website address for the thing that I've just mentioned actually is woodgreen.org.uk/urgent. But Jenny, thank you very much for joining me on Cambridge 105 Radio this afternoon. We hope that you get lots of money to look after the wonderful animals that you care for each and every day.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.